As they rode, Tony looked at Andy.
What he said about you being part Indian, is that a fact?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. My folks were white, but the Comanches took me when I was a boy. Kept me a long time. Some of their teaching has stuck with me.
I've been raised white and Mexican both. I guess me and you have something in common.
Damn little. I've never swum the Rio Grande to raid somebody's cattle.
It's not just somebody. It's not really about cattle. It's about Jericho Jackson. Tio Lupe and me. We won't stop till we settled our score with him.
Looks like he stopped you today. Most of the men who came with you appear to have gotten themselves killed.
Too bad. There's plenty more ready to rise up against him. He's already dead. He just don't know it yet.
He's about the livest looking dead man I ever saw. And I'm betting he's trailing behind us, just out of sight.
He pointed in a northeasterly direction.
Seems to me that ought to be the right direction to Big Jim McCauley's.
It's not his place. It's my mother's and Tio Lupe's. I don't want to go there.
It's our only chance, poor as it is. Jericho would never let us get you to the river.
They traveled slowly because Tony had trouble staying astride. Andy had to reach across at times and hold him in the saddle. He kept looking back.
Ain't no use looking behind us. They ain't there anymore.
He pointed.
They're alongside us. And it looks like Jericho's picked up a couple more men.
Jericho and three others were 200 yards to the left, working their way around in a slow lope to position themselves in front.
Well, Badger boy, you got any ideas?
I can't think of a one.
Give me a gun. At least let me take him with me.
You bluffed him once, Andy. Maybe you can do it again.
I wasn't bluffing. I'd have shot him if I had to, and he knew it. I still will.
Jericho and his three riders stopped 50 yards away. They formed a line facing Andy, Farley, and Tony. Andy dismounted and helped Tony to the ground. He then stood behind his horse, rifle again resting across his saddle. Farley followed his lead.
Maybe if we kill one or two, the others will figure out we're serious.
I don't like killing a man if I don't have to.
As the four began moving forward, he took careful aim.
Yeah, you got no scruples against killing a horse. I'd sooner kill a man.
It's a poor choice either way.
Jericho and his men stopped their advance. They appeared to be confused. One rode away.
Back here!
Jericho and the other remaining horsemen dismounted. Both horses jerked loose and ran.
It'll be a while running those horses down. Let's circle around them and put some distance behind us.
From where he stood, Jericho aimed as they cut to the south. Then they cut east again.
Keep shooting, Jericho! That'll just make the horses run faster.
Tony bent low over the saddle horn.
You think you can make it the rest of the way?
You ought to have shot Jericho instead of the horse.
They had traveled most of a mile when Andy looked to the east.
Damn! I thought we'd left the trouble behind.
There were two riders, one a large man on a big horse.
How did Jericho get ahead of us again?
Blink your eyes and take another look. That ain't Jericho. It's Big Jim McCauley.
Tony raised up, trying to see.
Tell that old gringo I don't need him.
Andy looked back. He saw Jericho and one horseman catching up, but still 300 yards away.
You'll never need him worse. Let's get to him before Jericho can get to us.
He took hold of Tony's shoulder.
Hang on tight. We're going to lope up.
McCauley reached them first. He had already recognized his stepson. His eyes were wide with concern.
What's happened to Tony?
He's got a bullet in him. If you hadn't come along, it was starting to look like he might get some more. And us, too.
Jericho paused to watch from 50 yards behind. McCauley dismounted and stood beside Tony's horse.
Let's take a look at your son.
Don't call me son.
McCauley tore the bloody shirt open. He didn't like what he saw.
We better get him to the house as quick as we can.
That's where we were trying to take him. Jericho had in mind to stop us.
I ain't going with you. I'm going to Tio Lupe.
Jericho moved closer, his hired man following with obvious reluctance. The Mexican who had arrived with McCauley pointed his rifle toward them. Jericho made a show of keeping his hands high.
Jim, you came near losing this boy of yours. If it hadn't been for these rangers, you better break him of running with your brother-in-law's renegades, or he's in for a damn short life.
If you ever hurt any of my family again, you better have a grave dug and waiting for you.
There ain't no grave deep enough to hold Jericho Jackson. You keep that chili-eating kid away from everything that's mine, else when I've taken care of the son, I'll come looking for the daddy.
You better hope to God you don't find me.
Tony nodded a fist and leaned forward.
Kill him. Kill him while you got the chance.
He lost his balance. His father caught him and pushed him back into the saddle.
Easy, son, or you're liable to kill yourself.
I ain't your son. I don't have no gringo daddy.
The blood on his shirt had dried. Now it glistened again, fresh and red. Jericho and his rider had pulled back but stopped 30 yards away. Andy could read Jericho's intentions from the way he sat, poised like a cat waiting to pounce.
Might be a good idea if me and Farley was to ride with you, Mr. McCauley, just in case.
I'd be obliged. Even Jericho respects the Rangers.
Not these Rangers, I'm afraid, but he'll respect the guns we're carrying.
Tony still acted as if he might pull free and go his own way. His stepfather forcefully took hold of the reins.
It'll be good to get you away from your Uncle Lupe for a while. Looks to me like he's poisoned your mind.
Don't say nothing against Tio Lupe.
Andy, I'm thinking Big Jim ought to have worn out a quirt in that boy's butt when he was young enough for it to have done some good. Probably too late now.
Andy offered no argument. Only two men had returned so far to the stone house where Guadalupe Chavez waited south of the Rio Grande. They'd come separately, one with a bullet in his shoulder, the other walking and leading a bleeding horse.
It was a trap, Don Lupe. We found but four men with the cattle. They ran away. But the Jericho, he had other men hidden. They came down on us like a whirlwind.
What of my nephew? Did you run away and leave Antonio?
I did not see him, but the Jericho's men were everywhere. They were killing everybody. We had no chance.
You should have watched out for him. He is but a boy.
He is a man. A man who should not have gone with us.
Chavez pointed to a much larger stone house.
Go to the women. Let them tend your wound.
Yes, patron. Good men have died today.
What do we do now? I will tell you when the time comes. First, I want to know what happened to my nephew. Send Gonzalez to me.
Gonzalez was an efficient spy. He could move about freely, appearing to be a ragged, wood-gathering old peasant and no threat to anyone. To the contemptuous gringos, he seemed beneath their notice, almost invisible. This worked to his advantage, for his ears were always open for information and his palms open for a coin. Gonzalez appeared, his clothing tattered, his dusty feet protected only by guaraches so old that the leather was dry and twisted and black. His long gray mustache drooped like his shoulders.
You have work for me, patron.
I want you to go across the river and see what has happened to my nephew. If he is dead, I want his body brought back here, where he can be buried in hallowed ground with a priest to help his soul find its way to paradise. If he is alive, I want to know where, so that I may send men to rescue him.
This will be a dangerous business. The Jericho is killing every Mexican he sees.
He will not waste a bullet on a worthless old man. He would not even stop to spit on you. I will pay well for the right information.
Gonzalez nodded. Chavez had known he would respond to the prospect of liberal payment. His only concern was the man's greed. He suspected that Gonzalez would be easily tempted. Should Chavez ever catch him dealing double, he would stake him down in an ant bed and let him consider the wages of perfidy while he died slowly, one bite at a time.
It is told on the other side that one of your men killed a nephew of the Jericho. For revenge, he has resolved to kill a nephew of yours.
Antonio?
Have you another?
Yes, but they are far away. Only Antonio has been with me. When were we said to have killed Jericho's nephew? I have heard nothing of these.
I know nothing more, only what I have told you.
Go then, and find Antonio. If he is alive, we must get him back. If he is dead, find out if Jericho has other nephews.
Farley eyed the lead slug in the tin pan, then pressed a clean folded cloth over the wound.
I've treated many a wound like this. Couple of them on myself. Now let's hope he don't take blood poisoning. Been as many died that way as from the bullet itself.
Jim, don't you think you better take him to a doctor now?
The nearest one is a two-day ride from here.
He'll get better care from his own family than from a busy town doctor.
You're tired, Farley. I'll bandage him for you.
Andy was aware that Farley had been watching the girl, trying not to be obvious about it. And several times Andy had noticed her dark eyes fixed on Farley until he looked her way. Farley stepped out onto the back porch to wash his hands in a basin. McCauley and Andy followed.
I'm much obliged to you both. If it hadn't been for you, Tony would be dead.
Yeah, we did what we could. I only wish we'd got to him sooner before he was shot.
You made an enemy. Jericho doesn't forget, and he doesn't forgive. You being Rangers, he probably won't shoot you himself, but he may hire somebody that can't be connected to him.
I'm not sure we'll still be Rangers when we report back in. Sergeant Donahue doesn't forgive or forget much either.
I'll go over his head. I know people in the Austin office.
Farley looked across McCauley's property.
Say, there must have been a hell of a bust-up between Tony and you. What'd you do to him?
Nothing. Except to be white. We were having a right smart of trouble with bandits, so I sent my family down to his uncle. Figured they'd be safer at Lupe's place in Mexico. I didn't figure on Lupe's filling his head with so much hate for everything gringo. Juana and Teresa came home after that spell of trouble died down, but Tony stayed.
Maybe you should have gone and brought him whether he wanted to come or not.
I wouldn't have gotten back across the river alive. Some folks complain about discrimination against Mexicans, but the knife cuts both ways. There's blind people aplenty on either side.
All the windows had shutters that could be closed and barred from the inside. A holdover from earlier Spanish times when Indian raids had been a recurring challenge. McCauley saw to it that the window in Tony's room was shuttered so no one could see in and perhaps get a shot at him.
If Jericho's dead set on killing him, an open window would be too much temptation.
Do you think he'd be bold enough to come here?
If Jericho sets his mind to something, he'll walk through hell's fire to get it done. I'll be putting men on guard tonight.
You can figure on me and Farley.
Farley gave Andy a cautioning look that said to speak only for himself.
I'll stand my share.
I'd be obliged if somebody would stay in Tony's room tonight and make sure nobody sneaks in.
Or out, Andy thought. He would not be surprised if, despite his wound, Tony took a notion to slip out of the house and make for the border. He probably wouldn't get far, but it wouldn't be for lack of trying. Tony's sister sat at his bedside when Andy and Farley returned to the room. Tony appeared to be asleep, but restless.
He's running some fever.
Farley held his palm against the boy's forehead.
At least he won't be running for the border tonight.
He wouldn't do that, would he?
He might. He's got guts. I mean, no offense, but it's too bad he ain't got good sense to match.
I'll admit he's a trial sometimes, but he is my brother. I'd hate to see more harm come to him.
Farley placed a hand on her shoulder.
It won't. Me and Badger Boy will see to that.
She reached up and touched his hand.
Badger Boy?
It's a long story. If you got time, maybe I'll tell it to you.
I have plenty of time.
Andy left the pair and walked out to the kitchen to see about getting a cup of coffee. He doubted that Farley's story would paint him in a good light.
Mr. McCauley, Ryder's coming.
Rifle in hand, Andy joined McCauley at the front of the house.
Don't anybody shoot unless we're shot at.
Farley came hurrying.
Don't seem likely that it'd be Jericho. Not bold and open like this.
Anybody who can outguess Jericho ought to be able to outguess the weather and the cattle market, too. I'd put him on my payroll. Who are you?
Sergeant Donahue, Texas Rangers. Is that you, Jim McCauley?
It is. Y'all come in slow so I can get a look at you.
McCauley lowered his rifle once he was satisfied that the visitors were indeed Rangers. Andy counted 5 men, including the sergeant. He was pleased to see that Len Tanner was among them. He'd been concerned that Len might have charged into the fray with his usual recklessness and gotten himself hurt. Donahue gave Andy and Farley a critical look.
Figured you two would be here. I talked to Jericho.
I guess he hollered murder.
Something like that. Said y'all took a prisoner away from him.
It wasn't quite that way. He tried to take a prisoner away from us. We didn't let him.
You exceeded your authority.
I always thought a ranger's supposed to protect a prisoner and not let anybody take one from him.
Jericho claimed you threatened to kill him.
All we'd done was tell him that if he didn't back away from our prisoner, we'd shoot out his liver and lights.
You meant it, of course.
It ain't my way to say something unless I mean it. This Indian boy's neither. Folks don't always agree with us, but they seldom misunderstand what we tell them.
Why'd you bring your prisoner here instead of delivering him to camp?
That was too far. He could have bled to death. Besides, we figured Jericho would gather up more men and head us off. He had blood in his eye.
Still there when I talked to him.
Donahue looked back at McCauley.
Jericho said it was your stepson. Have I your permission to go in and take a look at him?
Just you, and understand that you're not taking him when you go. He's too bad hurt to be moved.
I am an officer of the law. I do not accept conditions.
You'll accept this one, and you'll hear from my friends in Austin.
Very well, but you should understand that I consider your boy a prisoner. I'll leave a guard. As soon as he's fit to travel, he'll be taken to jail.
We'll discuss that when the time comes.
He motioned toward the door.
After you.
Len waited until Donahue and McCauley had gone inside. He moved up to Andy.
You all played hell with the sergeant's digestion. He wanted Jericho to get that boy. Said it would serve Big Jim McCauley right for marrying a Mexican woman.
I knew he had something stuck in his craw.
Ain't much he can do about the kid for now, but he'll chew on it. He'll have an awful stomach ache by the time he gets back to camp.
It'll be good for him.
But not for the rest of us.
Were you with him when he talked to Jericho?
Yeah. Looks like Jericho's crew killed most of the Mexicans, but they took a pretty hard licking themselves. He'll be short-handed till he can rustle up some more men.
So will Guadalupe Chavez. Maybe that'll put a stop to the raids around here for a while.
Maybe. But it was a pretty interesting scrap while it lasted.
Donahue came out with Jim McCauley.
He was the governor of Texas. An outlaw is an outlaw, no matter who he belongs to.
Did anybody see him steal any cattle?
He was there.
So were you. So were Jericho's men. Just being there doesn't prove anything.
It'll be enough for a jury.
Donahue jerked his bridle reins from the hands of a ranger and jammed his foot into the stirrup.
I intend to see that he stands in front of a judge and jury that won't care about anything except him being Lupe Chavez's nephew.
Andy walked up as Donahue mounted.
Sergeant, you said you're leaving a guard? Since he was our prisoner, I'd like to volunteer.
Permission denied. In fact, you and Brackett can consider yourselves unemployed. I am striking you from the role as of now.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that I don't trust either one of you any further than I can spit.
I got wages coming.
Take it up with Austin. Hewitt, you'll stay here and be sure that boy doesn't set foot out of this house. As soon as he's able to ride, I'll send a detail to pick him up.
Donahue looked back at Andy and Farley.
If you two have any belongings left in camp, I'll send Private Tanner back here with them. If I ever see either of you again, I'll file charges on you for malfeasance.
As the rangers moved off, Len held back for a moment.
Sorry, Andy.
Andy shrugged. Nothing was left to say.
Might be a good thing anyhow. Have you ever seen an old ranger?
McCauley put his big hand on Andy's shoulder as Len rode away.
You've both got a job here with me if you want it. After a little cooling off time. Well, like I said, I've got friends in Austin.
Ranger Hewitt seemed unsure what his relationship with Andy and Farley should be.
I'm sorry for what happened to you men, but I don't want it happening to me.
We don't hold anything against you.
Ain't your fault you're working for a son of a bitch.
I'd ask for a transfer, but Donahue would probably fire me instead.
You could hire out somewhere as a deputy sheriff. I hear most county deputies are paid better than rangers.
But my daddy was a ranger before the war. Died fighting Indians. All I ever really wanted was to be a ranger like him.
Then stay with it. Sooner or later, Donahue's liable to bite himself like a rattlesnake. I don't see why the main office puts up with the likes of him.
Well, you have to admit, he's pretty good at what he does. Trouble is, he knows it.
I can see why he's got his sights set on Lupe Chavez. I just can't see why he cozies up to the likes of Jericho Jackson.
No, you can't see it because you don't have a devious mind like his. He wanted Jericho to kill the McCauley boy because he knew it'd make Chavez mad enough to come a-shooting. He wants Chavez and Jericho to hit like two freight trains ramming together. With any luck, they'd wipe each other out. Then Donahue'd get credit for cleaning up the border. He'd like to be known as another Leander McNelly.
McNelly is dead, but Donahue looks so healthy it turns my stomach. I guess we shouldn't hope for too much in this world.
Next morning, Andy watched as Jim McCauley prepared to walk out to the corrals.
You haven't been in to see Tony this morning.
He talks to his mother and sister. He doesn't want to talk to me.
I'm sorry.
It's nothing for you to trouble yourself about. It's between me and Tony and Lupe Chavez.
I'm thinking about going back home to the Colorado River. But I'll stay a while if you have a use for me. I don't know that I'm much of a cowboy, though. Never did much of that.
I've already gotten enough cowboys. I'm afraid Jericho hasn't given up on the notion of killing Tony. I'd like you to stay around close and help watch out for him. Farley, too, if he's of a mind to stay.
I don't think Farley is in any hurry to leave. Jericho might not stop with Tony if he saw a chance to get to you, too.
There's no enemy quite as bitter as a friend who's turned against you. Jericho wanted this ranch so bad he'd sell his soul to the devil to get it. Lupe Chavez couldn't stop him, but I did.
What's to keep him from slipping up and shooting you while you're out on horseback working cattle?
I have some good men with me. White and Mexican both. And I've got eyes in the back of my head when it comes to Jericho. You watch out for Tony. I can take care of myself.
Ranger Hewitt came out of Tony's room.
How's the patient?
I'd just as well find me a shade tree and sleep all day. He's not in shape to go anywhere.
I'm not worrying too much right now about him leaving. I'm worried about somebody coming in after him.
Andy entered Tony's room. The young man lay on a cot, his face toward the wall. He didn't acknowledge Andy's presence. He'd lost a considerable amount of blood, and he still suffered from shock. Andy could imagine how much he must be hurting. A wound was usually more painful the second day than the first.
Are you hurting too much to talk to Big Jim? He's worried about you. You're not being fair to him.
What the hell would you know about it?
All I know is that you're being an ungrateful young whelp and your family is too good for you.
My real family is south of the river. I wish you'd taken me there instead of bringing me to this place.
If we tried, your mother and sister would be crying over you this morning. You'd be dead.
You figure I owe you something?
Not a thing, except maybe to act like a human being. I'd give everything I own to have a family like yours.
Take them and be damned. Soon as I can, I'm going back where I belong.
If you can get past Jericho, and the Rangers, and me.
He appeared to be a ragged old Mexican beggar, riding up to the ranch house on a tired-looking burro the third day after the battle. The ancient saddle, with its wide, flat horn, appeared almost as large as the animal itself. The man presented no evident threat, but Andy looked him over for sign of a weapon. He saw none.
What's hacienda is this?
Mr. McCauley's. What's your business here?
I hear Senor McCauley is a generous man and kind to poor Mexicans.
Mr. McCauley's also a very suspicious man when it comes to strangers.
McCauley's middle-aged maid stepped outside to shake crumbs from a tablecloth, but was intrigued by the beggar.
I am on my way to see my son in San Antonio. Please, senor, I am hungry and wish only for a little food. In return, I am a curandero, a healer.
He could work his magic on Antonio.
Doubt his magic would help much on a gunshot wound. I wouldn't suppose he's got some kind of charm that would improve Tony's sour outlook.
Many of our people put much faith in curanderos. They have powers no one else can understand. I will go and tell la señora.
The maid hurried inside. Andy studied the beggar. Curanderos sounded like the Comanche medicine men. Logic told him the shaman's magic was useless, but he had seen strange things happen as a result of it. Sometimes logic didn't work well either. Shortly, Juana and Teresa came out.
What is your name?
Gonzalez.
Mama, these curanderos are fakers. There's nothing he can do for Tony.
There are many things we do not understand, child. What is to be harmed if he takes a look? Just a look, that is all.
Papa may not be pleased.
There are things your papa does not know either. We have never turned the hungry away from our door. I see no harm in feeding the old fellow.
Andy felt uneasy, but it was not his place to argue with Mrs. McCauley. Mrs. McCauley and the maid had brought Gonzalez a plate of beef and beans and a cup of coffee on the patio. He had sat in the shade and devoured the food quickly without availing himself of a chance to wash his face and hands. Teresa frowned.
These beggars all have some kind of story. If he's a true curandero, why does he not heal himself?
The old man had a swollen cut on his hand that he had said resulted from letting his knife slip while he butchered a fat goat.
Maybe expects the dirt to heal it.
I have a bad feeling about this man. Would you watch him?
I will.
Andy suspected she would probably rather have asked Farley, but Farley and Hewitt were out in the corrals, looking over some brood mares a couple of vaqueros had brought in to mate with McCauley's best stallion. When he had eaten his fill, Mrs. McCauley led him to the room where Tony lay.
My medicine will work better if everyone left.
The two women withdrew, though Teresa's eyes begged Andy not to go. The old man frowned at him. Andy sat in a chair.
I'm staying.
Gonzalez began by placing his hands near Tony's wound. Tony had spoken little to anyone in the family, but he talked at length in Spanish to the curandero. Unfortunately, their conversation had been lost on Andy. Afterward, Tony appeared to have a stronger light in his eyes. Andy stood at the front door, watching as the old man rode northward on the overburdened burro. Teresa joined him, a question in her eyes.
I don't see as he heard anything. Maybe he did Tony some good, even if it's only in his head.
These are strange times. You never know for certain who are your friends and who are your enemies.
Yeah, I guess he's just a harmless old beggar.
It will take him a long time to reach San Antonio on that poor burro.
Time doesn't matter much to a burro.
The next time Andy looked in, Tony was sitting up, a pillow propped behind him. It was the first time Andy had seen him that way. Tony nodded, saying nothing, though he appeared at least civil. His stepfather then came in hot and dusty from working cattle.
How you feeling?
Tony turned his face to the wall and made no comment. Big Jim looked dejected. Andy followed him out into the parlor.
If it's any comfort to you, a while ago he seemed like he was feeling better.
Seeing me spoiled it, I suppose.
McCauley went into the kitchen. He poured a glass of raw tequila.
His uncle's convinced him that I married his mother just so I could steal this ranch. But it was the only way I could keep Jericho and some others of his kind from getting their hands on it. Once these border troubles are behind us, I plan to sign everything over to Tony and his sister.
Maybe you ought to tell him that.
He'd want me to do it now. I'm afraid it's too early. The courthouse crowd would find a way to take it away from him. Like they took so much away from old Don Cipriano and Lupe.
They might do it anyway if anything happens to you.
That's why I keep a crew of good men around me. So nothing does.
Farley and Hewitt remained at the horse corrals until nearly time for supper, then proceeded to the patio to wash their hands and faces. Farley dried himself with a towel.
We seen an old Mexican stop at the house this afternoon. What was he after?
He was a beggar, claiming to be a curandero. Spent some time with Tony.
What? Nobody told me.
Guess nobody felt like it was important. Mainly, he just wanted to beg a meal, then be on his way to San Antonio.
San Antonio's north.
That's the way he went.
Farley and Hewitt exchanged looks.
For a little while. But after he traveled north for a ways, he took a turn to the west. Me and Hewitt seen him.
West. Toward Jericho's.
You reckon he was here to spy for Jericho?
He might have been. But what could he have found out that Jericho doesn't already know? That Tony's here? Jericho knows that. That we're keeping a guard on him? Anybody with half a brain has to figure that we would.
He might have intended to do Tony harm, but I searched him for weapons before I let him come inside. I watched him all the time he was here.
Did he say anything?
Not to where I could understand him.
We could trail him.
No. We wouldn't likely catch up to him before dark. If he came here as a spy, he probably won't stop till he gets to Jericho's place. Let's just be happy that there wasn't any harm done.
It nagged at Andy how the old man's visit had seemed to boost Tony's spirits. Maybe Tony believed in curanderos, or perhaps the old man had told him something. Bert Hatton entered the office that Jericho Jackson considered his private sanctuary from the frequent disturbances which plagued his life. He stood a moment, unsure of Jericho's reaction to the interruption.
That pet Mexican yours is outside, Jericho.
Jericho set down an account book he had been working on and flipped a stub pencil deep into the roll-top desk. It annoyed him that Hatton had entered unannounced and uninvited.
A little wait won't hurt him.
He says he'd just come from over at Big Jim's. Got word for you about that boy.
Jericho shoved the account book into a drawer.
All right, damn it, I'll see him. But outside. I don't want him coming in this house. He's liable to be carrying lice.
It had been dark for an hour. Jericho lighted a lantern beneath the roof's narrow overhang and beckoned to Gonzalez. The burro stood droop-headed where the old man had stopped him.
What you got for me, Gonzalez?
I have done as you asked. I have seen the boy Antonio. He is in the house of his stepfather.
Hell, I already knew that.
He is stronger than his family thinks. He tells me he will soon get away. He wants to go back to his tío, Guadalupe Chavez.
I figured he'd try. Him and Big Jim don't get along. When does he intend to go?
He says he thinks after two more days he is strong enough to ride. The McCauley and the woman are to go to San Antonio among the vaqueros. The boy has a friend who will bring his horse that night.
Anybody watching him?
3 rinches. But they do not think he is strong enough to ride. He fools them. He has only to get out of the house while others sleep.
Yeah, he won't get far. We'll get him as he leaves.
It will be dark. He will be hard to see.
Even if we lose him, he'll leave tracks. It's a long way to the river. Come daylight, we'll catch up to him.
Bueno.
Gonzalez extended his hand, palm up. Jericho dug several coins from his pocket.
What I have told you is worth much more.
This is enough, you damned old bandit. You'll just get sloppy drunk on tequila. If I was you, I'd buy me a young burro with it and feed that one to the hogs.
But, Señor Jericho...
Move along before I sick my dogs on you.
Looking as if he had bitten into a sour melon, Gonzalez mounted the burro. His thin legs hung almost to the ground. He rode southward.
Kind of rough on the old reprobate, ain't you?
He'll take it. He likes my money too much not to. Anyway, I've got no respect for a man who betrays his own kind, even if his kind are Mexicans.
How can you be sure he won't betray you?
He won't. He knows I'd skin him and nail his hide to the barn. I may do it anyway when I've finished with him. He leaves a stink wherever he goes.
The old burro was still wet from swimming the river when Gonzalez courted him up to the stone house. A man walked out and confronted him, holding a rifle.
I am Fermin Gonzalez. I have come with news for Don Guadalupe Chavez.
The rifleman studied him with distrust.
I know who you are. Get down. Let me see if you're carrying a weapon.
Only this poor knife. It is so dull it will not cut hog fat.
The guard looked him over carefully anyway.
I am but a poor man doing a service for my good friend Lupe. Why would I wish to do him harm?
Perhaps someone has paid you too. We know you come from the Texas side. You have been watched since before you rode into the river.
It is good to see everyone so careful. One can never be certain who are friends.
Or enemies.
Guadalupe Chavez walked out of the stone house. His eyes were as distrustful as the guards.
What have you for me, Gonzalez?
I have seen your nephew, Antonio.
Where is he? Is he well?
He is in the house of his mother. He is not well.
But he is alive.
See, he was shot by the Jericho's men. Some rinches took him to the Hacienda Macaulay. But he gains in strength. It is his intention to slip away and come back here to you.
When?
If all goes well, he will leave in 2 nights.
He said nothing about Jericho, for that would risk revealing that he was working both sides.
It would be a long ride to the river. Do you think he is strong enough to endure it?
He thinks he will be. I am not so sure. It would be well if you met him and made certain. The rinches are sure to follow him.
Do you think Jericho knows where he is?
How could he know? Unless, of course, there is a traitor somewhere.
I wish I could send word to Antonio that we are coming to meet him.
I can go back. They accept me as a curandero. I can tell them I have come with medicine for the boy.
Do that. Tell him to come to the old adobe camp. He knows where it is. We will meet him and see him safely to the river.
It will be done.
Gonzalez stared at the ground.
I have expenses, Don Lupe.
Ah, of course.
Chavez handed Gonzalez a small leather bag.
You have done me a service.
Gracias, patron. May you live well and die a very old man.
Gonzalez hefted the bag. He knew, without counting, that it did not come up to his expectations. He wanted to complain, but thought better of it and turned away. Chavez would probably chastise him for being greedy, as Jericho had done, and pay him no more. He reined the burro toward the river. Chavez waited until Gonzalez was a couple of hundred yards away, then crooked his finger and beckoned to one of the pistoleros who had fought the gringos with him.
I have no trust in Gonzalez. It was he who told me Jericho was gathering a herd. It was a trap. He has promised to go to the hacienda of Jaime Micole. Follow him. If he rides in any other direction, he has lied to me. Kill him.
Si, patron. It will be done.
The pistolero went to catch his horse. Gonzalez crossed the river, but once out of sight, he turned eastward. He had no intention of returning to the McCauley Ranch and delivering Chavez's message. The risk was too great, and the reward too small. He saw some possibility that Chavez and Jericho might collide in their search for Tony. Perhaps if they had been more generous, he would favor one or the other. As it was, beyond the loss of their meager bribes, he would feel satisfaction rather than grief if either or both of them died. He was acutely aware that the two men held him in contempt, though they weren't so contemptuous that they wouldn't use him. This was a game that more than two could play. It would serve them right if he were the instrument of their mutual destruction. He would follow the river down to Matamoros, where a man with money in his pocket could debauch himself on the sweet fruit of the vine, dance with lissome señoritas, and be young again while the money lasted. He felt younger already. Hearing the music playing in his head, he hadn't noticed the horseman rapidly catching up from behind. Awareness brought alarm, and he quirted the burro vigorously. The horseman pulled up beside him, a pistol in his hand. His eyes were those of a hawk swooping in for the kill. The sun broke over the eastern horizon as Big Jim McCauley helped his wife and daughter up into the buckboard. He turned back to Andy.
I hate to go under the circumstances, but we've got to. I'm meeting with a cattle buyer in San Antonio. Teresa needs books and things for teaching when school takes up again. Tony seems to be coming along all right. He just needs healing time.
If anybody was fixing to make a move against Tony, looks like they would have already done it. We'll keep a close watch over him.
Several of the ranch hands were going with the McCauleys to protect the family on the road. Travelers were beset from time to time by highwaymen who had no connection with either Jericho or Guadalupe Chavez. Andy, Farley, and Hewitt were staying.
What do you want us to do if Sergeant Donahue sends for Tony?
How good are you at lying?
Never was much of a hand at it. The Comanches didn't have much use for a liar unless he was bragging about a fight. They made allowances for that.
Convince them that Tony is still too weak to be moved. We should be back in a few days. I know a good judge in San Antonio. I think I can get a court order to make Donahue leave him be.
Andy found Tony in his bed, eyes open.
They gone?
They're just topping the hill. Why? Didn't they tell you goodbye?
I'm glad Farley Brackett didn't go along. I don't like the way he keeps looking at my sister.
Farley's got his faults, but he wouldn't harm a woman.
My sister is half Mexican. He doesn't have much respect for Mexicans.
She's also half gringo. Does that make you have any less respect for her?
That's different.
Not much.
Andy looked at a small bedside table where a cup of coffee was going cold.
Need anything?
I wish you opened the shutters and let some air in here. It's awful warm all night.
You've kept the shutters closed so nobody can slip up in the dark and shoot you through the window.
But it's not night anymore. Nobody's gonna try it in broad daylight.
I guess not.
Andy swung the shutters back and opened a window.
Me and Hewitt will be close by. Holler if you need anything.
I just need letting alone.
That suited Andy. He'd had about enough of Tony's sour attitude. He was tempted to saddle up and ride away, but he'd given his word to Big Jim. He might go, however, when the McCauley family returned. They had plenty of help. They didn't really need him. And he had no obligations to the Rangers anymore. Sergeant Donahue had taken care of that. Lately, Andy had been giving considerable thought to Rusty Shannon and Alice and Bethel Brackett. He didn't feel at home in this hot and brushy borderland, so different in people, climate, and terrain from what he had known. He'd been revisiting his old dream of settling down in a pleasant valley, perhaps in the hill country, somewhere along the San Saba or Llano rivers. At dusk, Andy and Farley had made a wide circle around the house, walking to the edge of the brush and checking the outbuildings. Though he'd seen nothing, Andy closed the shutters that covered Tony's window.
You have to do that? I'll suffocate in here.
Better than letting a Jericho man shoot you through the window. Maybe you'll think about this the next time you decide to pull a raid on somebody's cattle.
I bet half of those cattle belonged to Tio Lupe in the first place.
I'm not a judge. I'm just a ranger. Or was. It's on account of you that I got fired.
If you had any self-respect, you wouldn't have been a ranger anyway. The rangers are a tool of the gringo land grabbers. They won't be satisfied till they've run all the Mexicans across the river. Who knows if they'll even stop there? I heard that the day he died, Sam Houston was plotting another invasion of Mexico.
And I heard that the earth is flat, that if you go to the edge of it, you'll fall off.
Go ahead. Make fun of what I'm telling you. You just haven't seen things from my side of the river. Someday a Mexican general will rise up and drive the gringos all the way north to San Antonio, maybe farther.
I guess you think that general might be your Uncle Lupe?
Who knows? The strongest leaders we've ever had came from the people. Like Father Hidalgo. He raised the cry for Mexican independence from Spain.
As I heard it, they shot him.
That was the Spanish. They were no better than the damn gringos. And we Mexicans beat them.
And then the Texans beat you.
You better watch out that when the stampede starts, you don't get trumped in it.
It was useless to argue with Tony. And he felt foolish for trying. He went outside to be sure a proper guard had been set up. The face he saw at the front of the house was not the one he expected. He found a bronc rider whose name he remembered as Francisco.
I thought Toribio was standing the first watch.
And Toribio sick a little.
Andy remembered that Francisco had been in the house to visit Tony a couple of three times. Evidently, their friendship went back a long way.
Well, you watch good. There may still be somebody looking to get at him.
Good boy, Tony. I watch.
Andy was sleeping on a cot in the hallway. An invader would have to go past him to get into Tony's room. Farley had spread his bedroll near the back door. Hewitt slept at the end of the hall nearest the front door. With guards inside and outside, Andy felt that Tony was well protected. He'd not removed his clothes other than his boots. He'd get up at least once in the night to check on the guards outside. Flinging off the light blanket that covered him, he dashed into Tony's room. Though it was dark, he saw that the shutters were open and Tony was not in his bed. Andy rushed to the open window and tried to see out into the darkness. He met Hewitt outside. Then he saw the guard Francisco standing, looking off southward in the direction from which the shots had come.
What's happened?
Francisco turned. To Andy's surprise, he was smiling.
Antonio, he get away.
But how?
I bring horse for him so he goes to his uncle. Men in the brush shoot, but I think they no hit Antonio. He's gone for Alia, for the river.
Farley came running up.
Damn. I didn't think he was in shape to climb out the window, much less to ride a horse.
Looks like he fooled us.
Fool everybody.
Andy was tempted to hit him, but he saw no gain in it beyond possibly venting a little bit of his frustration.
Looks like Jericho's men were laying for him. Sounds like they haven't caught him.
Fast horse. Nobody catch.
Come on, we better see if we can help him.
We couldn't find an elephant out there in the dark.
But we know he's headed south. He won't stop till he gets to the river unless Jericho's men overtake him.
He had no doubt that Jericho or his men had done the shooting.
Maybe we can cut his trail and catch up to him.
Andy went back for his boots. They had saddled and set out in a lope in the direction from which the last shots had come.
Donahue will have my hide for this.
Andy didn't give a damn about Donahue, but he felt that he had let Big Jim down.
What I can't see is why Jericho is so hell-bent on getting that kid. It's not like he's Lupe Chavez's right-hand man.
It's something about Jericho losing a nephew. Even a man like him can have feelings for his kin. He blames Chavez. Got a grudge against Big Jim, too. Killing Tony would give both men a kick in the teeth.
Patches of thick brush forced them to slow down to prevent thorns from injuring the horses. The men were not immune to them either.
Damn near put my eyes out. Every time I go somewhere with you, Badger Boy, something happens to me.
The only saving grace was that Jericho's men were probably having the same trouble. In the darkness and the brush, it would be easy to lose the way and begin traveling in circles. Andy picked out a star he judged to be more or less due south. Whenever they had to skirt around an obstacle, he kept reining back in the direction of the star. He paused from time to time to listen, but he heard no more shots and no hoofbeats. He was fairly sure they'd not gotten ahead of Jericho's men. He hoped they'd not ridden past Tony.
At least they ain't caught him. We'd hear shooting if they did.
They'd ridden through the night without any solid indication that they were on the right track. Things remained quiet until daybreak.
It's at least three or four different guns. Sounds to me like Tony's making a stand.
He won't hold out long if they got him bottled up in the brush.
Hewitt pushed past Andy and Farley.
I gotta protect my prisoner.
The two caught up with him.
He's not anybody's prisoner, not till we pry him loose from the hole he's in.
They almost rode up on the Jericho men before they realized how close they had come. Andy drew his pistol and aimed. He had little expectation of hitting something he couldn't see, but it might give the pursuers something extra to worry about.
Let's surround them.
Andy realized the shot had not come from the Jericho crew.
Look out! Tony can't tell us from them. It's Andy! We're coming!
Andy saw that Tony's horse was down. Tony was lying behind it, pistol balanced across the saddle. Andy jumped from his mount.
Are you all right?
Hell no, I'm not all right. They shot my horse out from under me.
Andy saw blood on Tony's shirt and doubted it came from the horse.
Looks like they hit you.
No, but the fall opened my wound up again. Been bleeding some.
His hand shook.
I can't hold my gun steady, or I'd have gotten two or three of them by now.
You ain't got a lick of sense, or you wouldn't be out here in the first place. We're going to take you home.
Like hell. You think you can get past them?
He nodded toward the Jericho men, 100 yards away.
One of them rode off a while ago. I figure he went for reinforcements. The only direction we can go from here is south.
Andy realized he was right. They'd caught Jericho's crew by surprise just now, or they wouldn't have gotten past them. They couldn't go back through or around them without heavy risk. He looked at Farley and Hewitt.
You all ready for a swim?
I'm still a ranger. It's illegal for me to cross the river.
Liable to be fatal if you don't.
Since you put it that way.
Hewitt aimed at the men in the brush.
I just want them to know we ain't gone to sleep.
Let's hoist Tony up into my saddle. I'll ride behind him.
That means they'll have to shoot through you to get him. You sure he's worth it?
Probably not, but let's go.
Andy's horse fidgeted, made nervous by the shooting and the smell of blood. Tony was as weak as a sick colt. Andy and Hewitt struggled to get him into the saddle while Farley watched for the Jericho men to move. Andy swung up behind Tony.
Hold tight to the horn so you don't slide off. One more fall just might put you under.
It'll take more than that.
Andy looked back. He saw 6 riders, somewhat scattered but spurring hard.
How far is it to the river, Tony?
It's just ahead of us.
And we better give them a horse race. If they get in front of us, we'll never be able to go through them.